Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as most of you know, because you follow the Beacon Broadcast regularly, we have come to the husband's responsibilities in marriage, as recorded in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. After giving instructions to the wives in verses 1 through 6, Peter now turns his attention to husbands in verse 7 when he says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." So, the husband has some very definite responsibilities, as does the wife. The wife's primary responsibility is to submit herself to the leadership of her husband. That is, does not come naturally to any member of Adam's race, men or women. It does not come easily or naturally, but that is what is required by God, and God will give the grace to do it. So that is the wife's main responsibility, and then there are some others that are given in these verses as well, as far as the development of lasting beauty, inward beauty, and so forth, as you may recall. But having addressed now the wives, he turns his attention to the husbands and says, "You have some responsibilities too." And the first one that we have dealt with rather thoroughly is that it is your responsibility to live with your wife. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. Now, he goes on to talk about dwelling with them in a particular way, which we have not yet addressed, and we'll do that starting in the broadcast today. But the first thing is just to understand that it is your responsibility to live with your wife. That is, be your wife's primary companion. And that is the essence of marriage, the foundation for marriage. That's what marriage was instituted for. It's not good for man to be alone. I'm not a helper suitable for him. And it is this companionship element that the wife becomes the husband's companion, the husband becomes the wife's companion. They are companions for the remainder of their lives. That's the most important foundational element of marriage. And when that is not understood, or that is not practiced, is not focused upon, is not developed, it's no wonder that problems develop. Of course they develop. What else could you expect if you are knocking out the foundation? So we'll continue talking about this on this Tuesday, December 3. Thank you, those of you who make this possible by your financial gifts. That's the only way that we can continue teaching God's Word on this station. So husbands, likewise, dwell with them. Live with your wives. If you don't do that, if you don't work at that, if circumstances interrupt that, then recognize this is a major problem and work hard at correcting it. I'm certainly aware of the fact that sometimes circumstances require a husband to work away from his wife part of the time. That's not desirable, but then there are a lot of things in life that are not ideal. You can hold up the ideal and say this is what God's ideal is, and this is what we should strive for, but we have to recognize that sometimes the ideal is not doable at this time under these circumstances because of this. But that doesn't mean we lose sight of the ideal and stop striving for it. We recognize that we are accepting something that is less than the ideal, and that will create a strain on the marriage. And so we recognize that, but we don't accept that as the norm. We don't make our own norm because circumstances don't allow us to conform to God's norm. You understand what I'm saying? I'll give you a parallel example in a moment, but do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so financial circumstances require that the husband be away from home, working more often than is ideal. All right, if that be the case, so that it's difficult for him to be a good companion to his wife, number one, do the things that you can do to compensate for that. There may be some things that you can do by way of regular phone calls and nowadays Skype, so it's more than even talking. You can also see each other and doing some special things when you're home. If somebody's required to work away from home, that is actually leave the town where you live in and be away for extended periods of time, usually, again, not always, but usually, that means that when you come home, you've got some extended days at home. You work away several weeks, maybe, even months in some situations, but you come home and you've got several months at home. Or, well, maybe not several months, but several weeks. 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, depending on what the situation is. If you're shorter periods away, you may only have extended days, but you have longer than just the normal 5-day work week, 2-day off. You've been working away from home many, many, many days, so you get many days to be at home before you take off again. All right, now you're going to have to really make those days productive in terms of companionship. You say, when I get home now, I've got all kinds of things to do. I've got house maintenance and yard maintenance. Yes, 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 no doubt. Things that you would normally have done on the weekends in a normal work schedule, they pile up while you're away. But talk about this with your wife and let's figure out what we can do. If this job is, lucrative enough that it's worth the liabilities for you to be away like that, or it may be the only job that's available for you at this time, but it may be that you could hire some of the things done that you would rather do yourself. Maybe you can hire somebody to do the yard. I mean, if you're away for weeks at a time anyway, somebody's going to have to do it while you're gone. Maybe your wife is doing that. Maybe the kids are doing that. Maybe you've got neighbors or friends or relatives that are doing that. Thank the Lord for them. But maybe you can hire some things that normally you would do yourself. That would be advisable in that situation. Not ideal. You'd rather be at home and do it. Number two, it may be that you and your wife can work together on these things so that even though this is not, you know, not you sitting down at the kitchen table drinking coffee and having a quality discussion together, but at least you're working together. You're rebuilding the companionship. After all, companionship doesn't have to mean sitting and talking all the while. Back to the original thing, in the Garden of Eden, God said it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. In other words, someone to help Adam with his responsibilities. It wasn't that they just sit around and chit-chat days and weeks and months and years on end. It is that Adam now has somebody to help him with his responsibilities, as tending the garden and other responsibilities that God has given to him. He has a helper that does that with him. So Adam and Eve are working together. That is companionship, as defined by God. That strengthens the relationship in the marriage. That builds a team. And you can do the same thing yourself. You and your wife work together on the things that you need to work on when you're home. But, of course, also because you've been away for so long and don't have that daily personal contact, which is ideal, you really need to schedule some some extended times of personal contact when you are at home. So carve out some days when you just spend the day together. You go shopping together, something your wife enjoys doing, and you can learn to enjoy. You say, do you do that? I do. Not as much as I used to. For some reason, my wife doesn't seem to shop as much as she used to. I guess it's because the kids are all grown. There's a lot of shopping when you've got four kids at home. There's a whole lot less when it's just you and your wife, though now I find that my wife is doing a fair amount of shopping for the grandkids, but not nearly as much as she did for our own children, because we were the primary ones to supply all of their needs, all of their clothes, all of their school supplies, all of their shoes and so forth, and for the grandkids it's not the same way. It's just special things for special occasions, but I still do that with my wife. Do you enjoy shopping? Not really. But this is a way to be with her. And what I found is, in our situation, she's perfectly happy for me to go along and take a book and find a chair and sit and read while she shops. But we're together. We go into the store together. She shops around. She has something she wants to show me. She knows where I am. She comes and shows it to me. We talk about it. When it's time to leave that store, we go out together. We go to the next place together. We stop and have lunch together. We can spend hours together. It doesn't have to be boring time for me. It doesn't have to be frustrating time for me. It turns out to be very enjoyable time for me. Even though I'm not actually enjoying the act of shopping, I enjoy the time of companionship with my wife. That's what it's all about. And you'll have to work at developing those sorts of things. So, dwell, live together. Dwell with them with understanding. And the first part of understanding is to understand what it means to dwell together and how important that is. This is foundational to wives. Live with your wives. It's not, as I think I've already said in the previous broadcast, simply living at the same address. You can live at the same home and not be dwelling together, no companionship. You can, if necessity forces it, at least at times, be living apart, but still develop companionship with greater difficulty. It's going to take some extra efforts, but it can be done. I said there were a couple of things you can do. One is to do the extra things that are necessary because of the awayness that is forced upon you at this time. And the other thing to do is to make plans to bring that to a conclusion. Don't accept this as the forever status quo. Now, our circumstances, our financial circumstances require that. We accept that. We're going to work with that. We're not going to let that destroy our marriage. But that still isn't ideal. We know that. So we are working for a different job. We are working for different circumstances. We have some plans. We have some goals, and we'll keep working at them until we see them achieved, until we see a better approximation of the ideal. We never reach a perfect ideal, but until we reach a better approximation of the ideal. I said I was going to give you an illustration of this in another area of life, and time has run out, so Lord willing, I'll do that tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.